2 Corinthians chapter number 4, and we'll look at verse number 7, and just for sake of refreshing that verse in our minds, and then we'll turn over to the book of Colossians after we read that. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 7, we had this verse used and many other things last Sunday. Verse 7 says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." And then Paul goes on and talks about his troubles that has come to him, and how that he's persecuted, and how that he's troubled on every side but not distressed. He gives a whole explanation there of how the Lord's blessing and helping him even in difficulties. As we read that verse, verse 7, it says we have this treasure in earthen vessel. Last Sunday we dealt with the earthen vessel, and tonight I want us to deal with the treasure that we have. And that treasure is very important. We're probably looking maybe three or four Sunday nights concerning the treasures that we have in the Lord. And when you begin to look into the Scripture and find out what we do have, we find out it is a very great treasure that God has given to us, and it's just in an earthen vessel. It's just in an old clay pot that we dealt with, and how the Lord can use that for His honor and for His glory. So if you would now turn over to the book of Colossians in chapter number 2. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 1. Again, much of the New Testament written by Paul, and here again is a letter that he writes to a church, as so many of his letters, or so many of the books are letters to either individuals or to churches. So he's writing to the church of Colossae, and he tells us in verse number 2, he says, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance and understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom we hide all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Here Paul deals, and he's talking to, writing to those that have never maybe put their eyes upon him, and the people of Laodicea. Of course, we have the church of Laodicea mentioned in the book of the Revelation. It didn't have a whole lot good to say about it, but it's listed there as one of the churches of the Lord. And Paul is here writing to Colossae, and he mentions Laodicea and to the others that have not seen him. And he says that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and the riches of the assurance and understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. And there is a great mystery of the Lord that we will maybe can find some of it, but we'll never know all the mind of God. And then it says, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." So tonight I want us to sort of deal with the subject of the treasures that we have in Him. I'm glad tonight that not only can I say that I've been born again, been saved for a number of years, but I'm glad there's some treasures that God has placed within our lives as Christian, as believers. He has saw fit that we are worthy to be the caretaker of many, many things, and those treasures have been put within these earthen vessels. And so Paul here says that we have that treasure. And it's two of them mentioned here in this verse. It's the treasure of wisdom and the treasure of knowledge. And there is a difference between wisdom and knowledge, and we'll look at that as we go through this message. The New Testament brings to light the error that many people have concerning salvation and concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. We find that the Bible tells us in the book of Colossians, I will give you a number of things. It's just a short book. It's a book that we maybe should read continually, because it gives us much about what we have in Christ. And here this verse tells us that we have the treasures of wisdom and the treasures of knowledge. But also in Christ we have redemption. according to Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 14, says, in whom we have redemption. Thank God salvation comes from Him. It comes from the Lord, not from anyone else or anything else, but it comes from Him. And Jesus is our Redeemer. Not only that, but He's the revelation, or He's the revealer of the invisible things that are spoken of in Colossians chapter 1, verse number 15. It says, who is the image of the invisible God and the firstborn of every creature. And so we find here that He's not only our redemption, but He reveals to us the invisible things of the Lord. Again, these are things that the world does not understand, and these are things that the world doesn't comprehend. Now, they're given to us. They're given to us as Christians. And so we have redemption. We have revelation. And then He tells us in Colossians 1:27, the Scripture says, to whom God would make known that all the riches of His glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Thank God we have Him in us. And He is that one that's not just standing on the outside being a good influence upon us, but He lives within us. And it's Christ in you, and He is our hope of glory. And so Colossians tells us so many things that we have in Christ. And Colossians 1 and verse number 20 says, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And so we have the reconciliation. We have been put back into fellowship with the God of heaven. Fellowship was broken one day there in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned against God. Eve was deceived and she took the fruit, and Adam took it of his own free will because he wanted to do it. He was going to follow the direction that was given to him. And so they fall into sin, and fellowship was broken. I'm glad tonight that through Christ, through the Lord Jesus, our Savior, we have been reconciled back in fellowship with God. And so these are many things that we have in Him, in Christ. And in Paul's time, there was two great eras that were really going forth. One of them was the vicious sayings of the Pharisees, and also the vain philosophy of man. And Paul deals with those two things and brings light upon them. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 16, let's read that. It says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in aspect of a holy day or of a new moon or of a Sabbath days, which are the shadow things to come, but the body is of Christ. And so Paul was dealing with that Pharisee group that judged everybody according to their own standard. They had set themselves up as the judge and the jury. If you didn't meet their criteria, then you just wasn't right with God. And so they were very vicious in their teaching and in their ways. And by the way, they were the primary force behind the crucifixion of our Savior, the Pharisees. And so Paul had to deal with them continually. And he tells us here that they tried to make certain rules and regulations that have not been given to the Lord. Our hope of glory is not determined on what we refrain from doing. Our hope is determined on what He did for us. It's not what we do or do not do, as the Pharisees would have us to believe, but our relationship with Christ is what He did for us, and how that He gave Himself a ransom for those that would call upon Him, those that would follow Him. Thank God He's our Savior. So the Pharisees were a group that He had to deal with. Everywhere He went, they followed Him, they bothered Him, and so He has to deal with them. Not only that, but in Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 8 tells us here, says, beware lest any man spoil you through the philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So these are two things that Paul had to deal with in his ministry. I believe we have to deal with those same two things in our ministries, in our lives, as a believer, as a Christian. There are those that say we do not live up to their standard. There are those that would put us under a bondage and under a yoke once again. But thank God through His grace those things have been broken and torn asunder. And then there are those that's this vain philosophy or vain way of life. Paul says here, beware lest any spoil you. Now the word spoil there is to me to be taken away. And so he says, just be careful. And the Greek word that is used here for spoil, it's only used one time. It's right here. And it has a total different meaning than all the other places where, two or three other places where the word spoil is used in the New Testament. And so it just simply means that it is to be robbed or be taken away, to be seduced, to be stripped, to be torn asunder from the things of the Lord. And Paul says here to this church, he says, don't let the men of this world, do not let the philosophers and the philosophy of this world and those that are following after tradition of men. You know, the biggest problem that Baptist people have tonight is tradition. Things that we have always done. And so therefore it has to be that way. And tradition of certain things. Now, there are some things that are right, some things that are good, and some traditions are well. But if we're not careful, we have put traditions, and we're almost like the Pharisees that say, if you don't do it this way, it's wrong. And so we have to be careful. And Paul dealt with those things, and he warned these people not to let this take place in their life, not to be spoiled. Now, the word philosophy, it's only used here, and God wants us to know it is not just what the mind has, but it's what the heart, soul, and mind. And so it's the philosophy of the world, the philosophy of mankind. It's a vain philosophy. It says here, it's a spoil you through philosophy, and it's a vain deceit or an empty philosophy. The word vain there just simply means has no substance. And really the things of this world have no substance to us. And the love that comes from God is a love that is real and has some standards and has some substance to it. And therefore, we are to follow Him. But the vain philosophy of the world is that that they may know the facts, but they don't have the faith. And they may have a lot of things in order, but they do not have the faith of the Son of God. And that makes it empty, that makes it null, that makes it void, having, the Scripture says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And so these things here that Paul is dealing with the church of the Colossian people, he is warning them to be careful not to let things rob us of our treasure. Don't let those things rob us of our joy and our peace of mind. And so he tells us here in these verses that we read tonight, he tells us here that there's two things in our walk with the Lord. There are two things that we have to deal with that's in the treasure house of the Lord that's been given to us. And he tells us there in verse number 3 that we have hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Every believer tonight has the ability to have wisdom. The Bible says if we lack wisdom, ask of God. Doesn't say go to the textbook. Doesn't say go to a teacher. If we lack wisdom, we're to ask of the Lord. We're to have the wisdom that comes from above. And then the other treasure that is mentioned here is knowledge. I thought it was interesting when we read there in 2 Corinthians, there in verse 7 of chapter 4, it says we have this treasure in earthen vessel that the excellency of the power of God be of God and not of us. This earthen vessel. The verse number 6 tells us that it's the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So it's the knowledge that we have in Christ is part of that wisdom that comes from the Lord. So let's look at these two particular treasures tonight that we have in Him, that He has given to us, that we have been blessed to have in our particular life. The Scripture says here that in whom are hid all the treasures, number one, of wisdom. Wisdom is an interesting thing. It helps us in so many areas. If a person has wisdom, then he has safety from error. The reason a lot of things get started in churches is because they do not have the wisdom, the spiritual understanding, the knowledge of what the Scripture says about particular things. And folks are just open to everything, and they just are, they think things are all right, whoever speaks, but sometimes what is spoken is not right. We have to be careful. But wisdom, if we really have the wisdom of God, it will protect us. It'll give us safety from the error of this world. It'll give us safety from when someone comes and knocks on our door and tries to give us something that is not true. It'll give us protection from places that we go that will be spewing out their thoughts and their ideas. All of a sudden we'll realize I ought not to be here because this is not according to the Word of God. That's using the wisdom that God has blessed us with as a believer. The wisdom gives us safety, and I'm glad, thank God, the wisdom can give us a progress and gives us security in the Lord and gives us satisfaction in our heart. So wisdom tonight is the God that gives us ability to apply knowledge to our best advantage. To apply the knowledge that we have to our advantage. To apply it according to the Word of the Lord. To apply it according to Scripture. There's not a private interpretation of the Scripture. There's not my thoughts and your thoughts and my ways and your ways. But when we talk of the Scripture, it's His way. And what He says, He means. And what He means, He says. And there's some things we may not understand all of them, but many of them we can and do understand because He has given us that wisdom whereby we can put to work the knowledge that He's given us, that we can learn of Him and we can make that treasure much more precious in our life. God never separates wisdom and knowledge. Because if you have knowledge, you must have wisdom to use it. If you have wisdom, then you have some knowledge behind that that can be used of the Lord. And there is a difference between that. There is a difference between wisdom and of the depraved man and wisdom of the delivered man. There's two different folks here, saved and lost. Do the lost people have any kind of wisdom at all? Well, they may have worldly wisdom. They may have vain wisdom. They may have empty wisdom. But do they have any wisdom concerning God? Not other than what God would give unto them to lead them unto Himself. The Bible tells us that man's wisdom is called foolish. Everything that man does is faltering and failing. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. We'll be looking into a few verses tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. And let's look at verse. We'll start with verse 18. Very familiar verses. It says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." There's the difference between the lost and the saved, the righteous, the unrighteous. Preaching to the lost is to them is foolishness. Preaching to you and I, it's the power of God. Verse 19. "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" Notice verse 21. "For after that is the wisdom of God, and the world by wisdom knew Him not. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." And so there is a difference in the wisdom of God and the wisdom of man. There's a difference between the saved and the lost of what we understand and what we believe. And the depraved man, the Scripture says that his wisdom is just simply foolishness. The condition of the intellectual world is and I think we see that everywhere we look. The world is very intellectual. The world is more educated than it ever has been. The world has more availability to certain things that would give them intelligence, give them knowledge. But they don't have the wisdom to use it. They don't have the understanding to apply it. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we could read verses there, and tells us that the condition of this intellectual world is it's passing away. It's going away. It's perishing. It's a pleasure that they have that one day will pass, and it's going to be gone. And it's a problem of the flesh that the world has and tries to deal. But I'm glad tonight, thank God for the power of God that helps us, you and I, as a believer, that we can follow after Him. Man's wisdom. You take the letters of that word wisdom, and I put out here beside it man's wisdom. First of all, it's without God. And the Scripture gives us here is 1 Corinthians 1:21. It's without God, wisdom. Makes it a vain wisdom. Now the letter I, it's inspired by the God of this world. We know who that is. Man's wisdom is inspired. He's pushed. and showed by the wicked one. So he's inspired by the God of this world. He is satisfied by the flesh. He destroys the soul. He offers no glory to God, and he masters his own spirit, he thinks. And that's what man's wisdom does for him. But you and I tonight, as Christians, we've been delivered. We have life. We have abundant life. We have salvation. And so our wisdom is far different. The wisdom that we have, the Scripture says, is called a treasure. Now, man's wisdom is foolish. Man's wisdom is passing away. Man's wisdom has no good, and it destroys the soul and the life of an individual. But the wisdom that the delivered person, the wisdom of the child of God, the Bible says here, it is a treasure. A treasure in earthen vessel. It's a treasure in the vessel that God has made and given to us that we call our life. And He has given us that wisdom. Job chapter 28, verse 12 says, and he asked the question, where shall wisdom be found? Where is the place of understanding? Job asked some good questions in his book. Job's a good book to study. He asked some very pertinent questions. And here he says, where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Where's the place of wisdom? Where can it be found? Yeah, I don't believe it can be found. It's given by God. It's a gift of the Lord. It's something that we do not study. It's something that we do not follow after. Turn back there. Let's just turn back to the book of Job just for a moment. At Job chapter 28, where he asks this question. Verse number 12. But where shall wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding? Now notice what he says in verse 13. Here's the answer. Man knoweth not the price thereof. Man doesn't understand the value of what really wisdom is. And the thing that is hid bringeth he forth to light. But where shall wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding? He says in the depth of it, verse 14, the depth says, it is not in me. And the sea saith, it is not with me. And it cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. Wisdom, it cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir and with the precious onyx and with sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it, and the exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or pearls, for the price of wisdom is far above rubies. The Lord puts a pretty high price on this thing we call wisdom. He puts a high value upon What is wisdom? It's gold can't touch it. Silver can't touch it. Onyx can't touch it. The different pearls cannot touch it. He goes on and says, the topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Wherein then cometh wisdom? And where is the place of understanding? Seeth it is hid from the eyes of all living and kept close from the fowls of the air. Destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our hearts. We've heard of it. We've heard of wisdom. All said and done, the only thing that's left that can be said, we have heard of the fame thereof. But I'm so glad tonight that the Scripture gives to us, if we lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And that is a treasure. Far above rubies, Job says. Far more valuable than fine gold and pure gold and silver and topaz and rubies and all the things that we put value on. Job said, and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Job said it can't be compared to what God gives us in wisdom. No wonder the Bible says what we read tonight, that that's one of our treasures that we have in Him. That's one of the things that He has blessed us with. And when it's all said and done, everybody that has tried and falls short, all they can say is that we've heard of the fame of wisdom. We've heard of it. They've never experienced it. They've never had knowledge of it, but we've heard of the wisdom and the fame thereof. The price of wisdom is far above. Really, really, you could put out beside those words that we read there in Job, wisdom is not for sale. Can't be purchased. It's just not for sale. There's some things that people have and they just will not sell it. I was watching a show this afternoon, shortly before church started. These prospectors are out trying to find little nuggets, and they're digging and they're climbing up the mountainside and risking their life just for a little old blue stone. And they started calling off, well, this one's worth $100, this one's worth $500, and it looked like this is like a stone to me. And they knew the value of it. And God says, when you compare all those things to wisdom, there's no comparison. And this one man, it showed a stone that he found, he and his brothers. Brothers had passed away, and he'd gone back to the place where they found that. I guess he's made a shrine there. Most people do stuff like that. And it showed a picture of that stone. It was 5 feet long and about 2.5, 3 foot tall. It was on a cart and had to be pulled and drugged. And he said, I've been offered a lot of money for this, but he said, it's just not for sale. I'm not going to sell it. Well, I said, boy, I wish I had it. I'd help you take care of that real easy. You can watch me sell it. I can handle that. But it looked like an old dirty stone. But in their eyes, those that knew of the gems and the precious stones, they knew what it was worth. And he said, I've been offered a lot of money. He said, it's just not for sale because it reminds me of the good times that I had with my brother. Well, I'm glad I got something far greater than a 5 foot stone. I'm glad I have the Lord. And he's more valuable than that stone. He's more valuable than anything. And really what Job says, there's nothing to compare. You can't compare the wisdom of God to anything else that this world has to offer. And so when we think of this old earthen vessel, we think about we're not much. But just remember, within us, in Him, we have wisdom. And God says wisdom is far more valuable, more precious than all the things of this world. So there's a place of wisdom, there's a price of wisdom, and there's a promise of it. It's a gift of God. He's promised to each of us. Let's notice the second thing that is mentioned there in Colossians chapter number 2. We have the treasure of wisdom, and then the second one is knowledge. The treasure of knowledge. Now, knowledge is an accumulation of facts with some understanding. We go to school to get knowledge. We don't go to school to get wisdom. We go to school to accumulate some facts. We learn our English. We learn our math. We learn the different things that are put before us in elementary and high school. And then we go to college and we accumulate more facts. And we accumulate more knowledge. And we go farther in our understanding. And the Bible says that knowledge is a treasure. Knowledge, first of all, of the Lord. Thank God we have knowledge of Him. And there's a lot of people that have worldly knowledge, but they don't know anything about the Lord, and so therefore the Scripture calls them fools. And many of them even deny the Lord. And there's nothing wrong with knowledge. Sometimes folks act like, well, I don't need any knowledge. I don't need any help. I can get by best I can and just be a good old boy and just do those things that's common to our area. Well, there's nothing wrong with having a little bit of knowledge. There's nothing wrong with having a little bit of understanding. There's nothing wrong with being able to apply some things in our life that we will face and be able to handle those things. And God tells us there in Colossians, He tells us that we have these treasures, and the treasure first is of wisdom, and then the second treasure that He gives us is knowledge. The accumulation of facts. Our world is losing the accumulation of facts. We're not doing too well a job on historical facts. We're not doing too well a job on mathematical facts. We're not doing a good job in our country in a lot of areas, but knowledge is accumulation of those things, and God doesn't care how much knowledge we have as long as it does not have us. As long as it don't overtake us. And you know, there's a lot of folks that knowledge is overtaking them. They're smarter than anybody else. And when it comes down to the whole bottom line, they really feel like they're smarter than God. Well, they may have knowledge, but they don't have wisdom. They may have an accumulation of facts, but they do not know how to use it. And you see, man has some enemies. And if we're not careful, those enemies will overtake us. And God gives us the ability to put those enemies to flight. One enemy is fear. Everybody has fear. Somebody comes to you and says they're not afraid of anything, you just put it down, they've just lied. Because there's fear in the heart of man. There's fear that is there. And the other side of that, God's side of that, is that there is love and He takes care of our fear. There is also the enemy of worry. Somebody tells you they don't ever worry, there's something wrong with them. They're brain dead, maybe, if they never worry. Worry is a part of life. Now, worry can become a sin in our life if we let it go too far and too long and too deep. But there's not a one of us that sometimes lay our head down on the pillow at night and we worry about the things that have happened the day before, that day we've lived. We worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. We worry about what's in the future. We are a worrying people. On the other side of that, God gives peace that passes all understanding. And these are all dealing with knowledge and understanding and wisdom. There's loneliness everywhere. People are lonely. I dare say you could go to the aisles of Walmart or wherever you might be, the street sides, and you'll find people that are lonely. Nobody seems to care. They don't think anybody cares. And there may not be anybody that really does care about them on, as far as their family or people are concerned, but I'm glad God cares. And He can take care of our loneliness because of His presence. He's always there. And these are things that work in the life of a believer, that we have the knowledge and we have the wisdom to comprehend God's blessings to us. The treasure of knowledge just simply means to know. There's some things I know. First of all, I know that redemption is in Him. Praise the Lord. I'm glad it's not depending on me. If it was depending on me, I wouldn't make it. If my salvation was dependent upon what I do after I got saved, then there's no hope. There's no way. There's no rhyme or reason about my life because I'm a sinner. Thank God, saved by grace, but I don't have the power to do everything that I need to do to keep me saved. So I'm glad the Lord does that. He's our redemption. Our redemption is in Him. Over in 1 Peter, just for a moment. 1 Peter chapter 1, very familiar verse. The Scripture says, "For as much as we know that we are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from the vain conversation." There's that word vain again. Means empty conversation received by tradition. There's that word again. Tradition of our fathers. Here in 1 Peter 1:19 now says, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish, without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, that was manifest in these last times for you." I'm glad it was in days gone by and was manifest in these last days for us. And so we find here that our redemption is not with silver and gold, just like our wisdom is not. Just like wisdom can't be compared to that, neither can our knowledge of redemption and salvation. It's a personal thing. I'm glad salvation tonight, the knowledge of understanding of Jesus Christ, our Savior, I'm glad it is a personal thing. Paul said, "I know whom I have believed." That's personal. He said, "I understand, I know whom I've believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep those last days." That's very personal. And as a believer tonight, as a Christian, it's just that personal to us. And we can say, "I know whom I have believed. I'm glad I have the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior." He tells us, the Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10, "I know His joy is my strength." As Nehemiah, as I was rebuilding those walls, we went through that a number of weeks ago. And Nehemiah had a lot of struggles, but he said, "I know His joy is my strength." The Scripture says that we have security in His righteousness and His justification, and my assurance is in what He did for me at Calvary. Thank God there's some things I can know. I know one thing. If I pillow my head tonight, and in the midst of the night, the Lord comes for me, I know where I'm going. I'm hoping and glad, and I'm hoping everyone in this building maybe can say the same thing. I know that I'm redeemed. Now, I don't know about you, and you don't know about me, but I know about me, and you know about you. That's a knowledge that we have. And in this body that God has given us, in this mind that the Lord has blessed us with, we can have wisdom and we can have knowledge that our salvation is of Him and that He's going to finish the work that He began in our heart. He's going to give us rest. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, which He hath given rest, that we are to enter into that rest that He has for us. I'm glad I can know that. That is knowledge. We know John 3:16. We know a number of verses in the Scripture. That's the knowledge of the Word of God. And God says that is a treasure within our vessel that's made of earth. It is a wonderful thing to know that you know that you know you're going to heaven. Knowledge. It's a wonderful thing to know what's going to take place. As the message given this morning, I know some things from the Word of God of what's going to take place. So I don't have to wring my hands. I don't have to wonder. I don't have to say, what in the world is going on? I know what's going on. That's knowledge because of this blessed book that we study and hold. And so God has honored us and He has revealed to us the truth because we are children of light, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Children not of darkness, but we're children of light. And light brings what? Knowledge. You get in a dark place you've never been before, you don't have any idea which way to turn, which way to go. You don't have the knowledge. And when the light comes, when the light shines, then we know. Well, in my life, in your life also, that there was a time we maybe didn't know which way to turn. We didn't know where to go. We didn't know who to ask. We didn't know any of the details. I thank God for the light that sprang in. The light of the glorious gospel. And when we saw the twinkle of God's light and the work of the Lord in our heart and life, He begins to deal in our heart and He begins to show us and reveal to us our need. Thank God for the knowledge of salvation. Thank God for the knowledge of knowing one day we'll be with Him. What is revealed in us? We're a creation by the sovereign God of this world. And that's revealed. The curse has been brought to naught. Oh, I'm still living under the curse. I still have the problems of the curse. I'm reminded of it every morning when I get up. The bones ache and the muscles hurt. And I have to find my glasses so I can find the door and all those things. That all reminds us that we're still influenced by the curse. But I'm glad I know what's coming in the day ahead. Those things shall be passed away. The scene comes before us, the last scene of the world that we looked at this morning. Jesus is coming. The rewards He will have with Him. And I believe some of the greatest things that we have of the Lord we already possess. Or at least we have the ability to possess them. And that's wisdom and knowledge. In Him, we have the gifts of wisdom and knowledge. May we use the knowledge that God gives us. May we use the wisdom that the Lord provides for us. And if we do not know and we do not have understanding of things that come our way, then let Him ask of God. Because God is abundantly clear. And we can't pay for it. We can't buy it. But we can sure ask for it. And He'll deliver it to us far, priced far above what we think is so valuable. So may the Lord bless His Word tonight, giving to us wisdom and knowledge. Let's stand together.